Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakening with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Awakenings, part of the Converging Flow. I'm your host, Michelle Mache. It's great to be here with all of you. And hello to everyone in the chat, which kind of got started a little later. And hello to everyone listening via iTunes and the archive, and of course, TuneIn Radio as well. If you'd like to get on air, if you'd like to chat, you'd like to ask some questions, the number is 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122, and press 1 on the keypad. I see we have people already in line, so I'll be getting to you guys soon. How's everyone doing this Wednesday? Let me know. Let's see, 347-539-5122 if you have questions or comments. And people can let me know in the chat how is there are. Hello, Lar. Great to connect. And welcome, callers. Have a couple things to run by. Of course, the second half of the program we have filmmaker, advocate, extraordinaire, Michael Murphy will be with us, and we're going to be diving into talk about the chemtrails. What in the heck? What in the bleep? You can fill in the blanks. What are they spraying? And I actually, if I have a chance to multitask a bit, I want to upload a picture that I had taken on my Instagram, and somebody was swearing that it is chemtrails, and I want to see if it is or not, or maybe I'll load it later and see if Michael can, what his professional opinion are. I've kind of been thinking they've been spraying less, not sure. Love to know your thoughts on that, if anybody has them. Have you been seeing them? I mean, they've been around for quite a long time. They've been spraying, unfortunately, a lot in, all over the place, actually, all over the world, but places you wouldn't even think of, like Hawaii. So we shall, we'll be diving into that and taking your calls if you'd like to call in as well. Let's see. So someone, my co-host, co-pilot, sound engineers in the chat, if anybody can let me know how the sound is. Boy, I have three, more than that, computers, and two are configured in an older configuration with a different network. So I think they're getting confused. And so I had trouble logging in today. And then my one computer, the old one, the oldest one, is as fast. I mean, you barely put the little cursor, you know, you barely roll the mouse over, and boom, it's got you logged in. It's changed the page. Speedy racer. Couple things I wanted to chat a little bit about before Michael comes on air and before we get to callers. Laura, thank you so much. Sounds good today. Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm going to get to a wonderful question that came in. Hey, everyone also listening on by phone, press 1 on the keypad. Let me know you want to get on air. Otherwise, I might just pick up and say hi anyway. You know how I am. I'd like to hear voices, not just in my head. I'd like to hear voices. Anyway, before we get to this email question, and then dive off into that, I was with a friend last over the weekend who reminded. It stuck to me, but I got it today. And I want to see how many people can relate to this. It's the small things in life. Well, there's an analogy here. Just follow where I'm going with this. So we were talking about making coffee and how warming up the cup, because if I have wine or if I have, like, juice or something, I like to put the, if it's, you know, white wine, obviously, I like to put the glass in the fridge or the freezer sometimes. Or if I'm making lemonade or iced tea, just sometimes, I don't know why, just like that extra cold, not with my waters, like they say, with bubbles or gas, or just flat, as they say in Europe. I just like it room temperature. It's better for you. But somehow if I'm having some kind of like a specialty drink. So then he mentioned, oh, yeah, when you warm up the milk, you know, for coffee. And I said, God, I always used to do that. And I have a frother that I got, a stovetop frother. And, you know, I love just warming up the milk a little bit for my decaf Americano or cafe au lait or latte or tea or whatever the mood, almond milk, whatever. And this morning, I realized out of my meditation, I was kind of racing around because I'd been talking to my neighbor. And I thought, you know what? The time. Take my coffee is so much more enjoyable right now than I use my little frother. And then I thought, how many times do we do that in our life where we get so caught up in things that we don't do those little tiny things? And I think with so much going on, you know, we skip stuff. Stuff gets skipped, or those little fine things that, you know, it's not so much what it is. I mean, okay, big deal, frother, what is that? You know, but the analogy of it and the warmth of it, you know, where is the warmth coming from in your life? And, of course, not always, which I don't, and I know a lot of you don't either, not expecting necessarily for other people to provide that. But taking the time, you know, I always say, I had this saying, I was telling another friend of mine, I said, you know, we should never be so busy that we can't stop and say hi or inquire about someone, you know, neighbor passing on the street. You know, we all get running, rushing around. Should never be rushing around or so busy that we don't have time to notice the squirrel, you know, running across the wire, to spend time with friends or neighbors. And I make sure that I do that, you know, pretty much on a regular basis. And I found myself making some decisions because I'm moving, and I thought, wow, I'm getting myself in a situation where I'm not going to be able to do that as much. And I thought, there goes the quality of life. And because there's always going to be rushing around. There's always going to be more to do. There's always going to be, you know, one more thing to squeeze in, especially since we're now on a 24-hour, you know, 24/7, if you will, lifestyle. You know, back in the day, not that long ago, even 10 years ago, and just think of mid-90s, those of you that can remember, or even 2000, you know, you had, you know, it was more of an etiquette just, you know, I'm not going to text that person because they might wake up, or that even a business associate, or I'm not going to email them because they might get the alert. Now it doesn't matter. You know, people just know. But I love that too. I love that. One of the things in the new emerging consciousness is that we all, not only transparency with other people, but being ourselves. And that doesn't mean you have to just say every secret, every little thought you have, or, you know, you have to do full disclosures of everything. But it's living more authentically, more transparent to what your true likes are. One of the things that's really important in the new emerging consciousness of the new paradigm is we have to learn to manage ourselves, because, you know, eventually there won't even need to be police. We won't have to have outer policing. You know, the only reason we have police is there's crime, and the only reason there's crime is because there's police. We're still living out those two parts of the polarity, you know, we're playing. We're still living out that duality of good and evil and right and wrong. But as that lesson, as we move more into self-accountability, self-responsibility, which if you're living fulfilled, I always say if you're living really fulfilled and you're living, you know, very self-expressed and creative, you really don't have time to, you know, worry about other people getting in their business, busybody, gossip, crime. You really don't have time for that kind of stuff or that inclination, because you're fulfilled. I mean, people make decisions that are non-optimal or non-life enhancing or even detrimental because they're not fulfilled, you know, or they don't have the tools to process and not just examine, but process through their wounding and such. So that's where we're all going. So on that note, you know, people are finding that they want to focus more on what is most fulfilling for them. People are not, you know, more and more. I mean, I get it all the time. I mean, we get it with the listeners calling in. I get it with clients, people, friends. You know, I felt it myself. We really want to do what we want to do. It's the motto is it's time for us. Now, it's time for us in a way that is still great for the whole, for the collective, whatever that is, whether it's friends, family, but not at the expense of your true, you know, design or your true inclinations. And it's kind of always to remember that. Something also a friend of mine was saying, he had this tattoo on his back that we, for him to a reminder to live in his truth, to always be in his truth. And sometimes it's not, you know, you think you are, but you get caught into a wave of something. And you're going to see more disparity. I wrote about it in my Soul Insights blog and my Soul LOL newsletter with, you know, live, love, laugh out loud. You know, just be a little loud. We're meant to be nosy. That we're moving into a time where it's going to be more about creativity and self-expression is going to be more of the pull, if you will, more of the direction that everybody is going to want to be taking, more and more people. You know, until it gets mainstream. I mean, it always kind of stays on the outskirts, so to speak, you know, the edges, the fringes, those, the outliers, you know, the 10% the creative, the culture creative, however you want to put it. The fringe people, people living alternatively. You know, there's those that always wake up before the others to make the shift and the change that are the kind of the pioneers that then set the foundation, and which then needs to be stabilized. And then you have the systems, they're the system busters that come in, and then you have those that are the maintainer stabilizers. You know, any of you that took my Daily Own course, you know this. There's very important to have the maintainer stabilizers, but then there are those that are the pioneers that go off into other frontiers, you know, and they're not meant to maintain and stabilize. By the time things are getting maintained and stabilized, it's becoming a norm, you know, a normality. And but every part is important, you know, every part is important, whether you're, you know, a disruptor, you know, an innovator, inventor, whatever you're doing, every part is, you know, important, to whether you're maintaining it, stabilizing it, maybe you're amplifying it, maybe you're making it more, bringing more uses. Every part is important, but a big part is, and for sure, for a lot of the outliers in the next, or all the outliers in the next two and a half years, is going to be focused a lot on self-expression, different ways of expressing self and creativity, you know. And I've been seeing it. There's a few people in the chat today that have been having this, where they're just really opening up even more artistically. You know, we are creator beings. That's why we were here. You know, you're not sent here because you did something wrong, or you're on a learning lesson, or karmically you were a walrus and now you're a human, or whatever, you know, all these things. That's a part of the process, but people will finally come to know that you are here to just express you as you, the design that you are. That's part of the universal plan. You're a piece of that kaleidoscope that all fits together, and so it is moving more fully. That's why I say living full spectrum. And somebody asked me something the other day. I can't even totally remember what it was, and I told them, you know, having a Latin background. Yeah, I'm Latina. I said, but I'm full spectrum. I'm everything. You know, I'm all aspects, you know, saint, sinner, goddess, God, nice person, not so nice, you know, all of it. You know, you're going to get it all, as hopefully as unfiltered as possible, you know, in a way that's, you know, not to be mean, but just to be me, you know, a way that is, you know, less and less censored, because that's where we get in trouble, and that's where a lot of the shadow material has been created, and not the shadow material that's the inspirational type, but the part that comes from the disowned self. And I also want to let everybody know this, the 23rd, Saturday the 23rd, we're doing the modern, we're branching out. We've been doing a lot of archetypal work in our teleworkshop, an LA-based workshop. This month there is not going to be an LA in-person workshop. There's just going to be the teleworkshop. And you can find out about it by going to, modernmysticismteleworkshop.eventbrite.com. That's modernmysticismteleworkshop.eventbrite.com. And we're going to be doing some shamanic journeying and working with the archetypal energies as well as animal medicine, all that's what's in nature, what's in nature. Okay, getting the phone lines in a minute. Okay, we had a email question from James. Recent period of very busy, vivid dreams, people and places. I myself, how many of you have been having major dreams? I had one today with coyotes and wolves, and I mean, it was just amazing. A lot of coyotes in the dream and one wolf. So, there's a heightened, and I do believe part of that, I want to say, is also I feel that Jupiter in Leo, the form of dreams are definitely their messages, but they're also a form of self-expression. They can be very creative. It's also highlighting the self. And people are opening up more to get their messages, and we have more cleared from the astral plane. So there's a lot more clear messages from the soul. And let's see. Also wondering whether South American guide has dropped in. I have a new interest in liking of panpipes. Not the Celine Dion remixes, which I've never had before. Did a quick VAV on a train of sitting on a mountain, blue sky morning, rock hills. Was right there in a matter of seconds, and then the train pulled in. Okay, so this is a dream. I'm going kind of quick because I just want to answer. It's easier for me to answer things on air, so when you guys email me, awakeningsradio@gmail.com, I usually tend to answer. I try to get to them personally, but I get a lot of emails. So note your dreams. Always with your dreams, note the feelings or emotions in the dream. That'll tell you what you're working through. And note the signs, the signals, what they represent collectively, maybe even culturally, and then what they individually represent to you, and that will give you the message. We're next in some of the workshops that we're going to be doing. We're also going to be doing some dream reentry work, which is amazing, very powerful. Because you can, if you change things around in the dream, that also translates to the waking life. Anytime you're dreaming pan pipe, think of pan. Pan is like letting loose a little bit. Pipes are noisy, I said earlier. When you're getting dreams of instruments, singing, sounds, chanting, it usually has to do with your own healing of the fifth chakra, but also self-expression, creativity, expressing more of yourself. If you think of yourself more artistically, how can you sing your own song more, And maybe it is looking for avenues or ways or instruments or modes of expression or mediums of expression, if you will. Also, and when we're traveling, that usually means that there's major changes going on inside of us. Because when you're traveling, you're open to new influences. I'm going to open the phone lines now and also open the channels to definitely send me your dreams. We'll look at them. We'll interpret. Call in with them even better, and we'll chat. And let me know, is your dream life really up right now? Mine is very active. And let's see. Laura is saying in the chat, yes, dreams have been a bit more vivid. Trisho, a lot of vivid dreams. Crystal bowls, a lot of dreams. Very vivid. Everybody's using the word vivid. So, yeah. Bright, and let's see. Laura saying, not a dream, but I was listening to music last night and got a vision of the clock in my car, which doesn't work, by the way, displaying the time 10:56. Well, add up 10:56. What is that? I believe that 66 breaks down to 12-3, so that 3 is about branching out or expression. 66, 6 is about emotional connection, emotional, looking at your emotional life, domestic life, your household, does it support you? 12-3 can be things, could be hanging for a little bit, you're getting a new perspective, and that 3 says go in the direction of self-expression, creativity. It's the Empress card in the tarot, so working with that wonderful feminine receptive energy to receive your messages, you know. And what I mean by messages is sometimes it's our creativity. It's the form that we're taking, you know, the next level. And, you know, dreams and visions, they're very similar. I mean, they really are. I mean, it can be prophetic. It can be focusing on what you need to integrate or what you're processing or working through. It can also show next steps. Speaking of next steps, let's get to our caller here. Hi, 416-630. You're on Awakenings Radio.
Hey, Michelle, it's David in Toronto. He used to be on my
hey!
Show way back when.
Hey!
How you
yes,
doing?
I was to have your show monthly. Howdy doody.
I know. Good, good,
great.
Good.
Hi.
Happy summer to you.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. I guess I have a couple of questions, and it's work-related, of course.
Yeah.
I've put in a one proposal, which would begin next January. It's for an a self-employment training program, and then the other is I just sent a resume off for a little part-time gig, coaching and
okay.
training. So I just wanted to see if you have any insight on that.
Okay. And the first one was, tell me that again. What was it again? The
first it was a pretty major proposal that I teamed up with another
okay.
organization on, and it's to run an entire
okay.
training
so that
program.
One seems, okay. That one seems a bit further off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that feels like a bit further off, or you might have to do more development with it is what I'm hearing. There might be some things to kind of tweak. I almost feel like they have to see how it's needed. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. The other looks really strong. Now, you did that before, right? Did you do – you did coaching or something, business?
Yeah, I do that now, yeah.
Oh, you
just
do?
With
okay.
an organization I used to work with a couple of years ago. They just posted a
okay.
part-time coaching position.
Yeah, because that seems to be I feel coaching around you and even speaking. So I don't know, maybe in the coaching
yeah.
you're doing that, or is that okay? And even like
oh, I do a lot of teaching, yeah.
Oh, you do? And what about speaking?
Yeah,
okay.
yeah I do speaking
because,
as well.
Okay, because that's the direction I'm seeing is very strong for you, is really developing, they're telling me, a charismatic program. You're very charismatic. So just stick more with that. More will open for you in that direction.
Okay. Cool.
Makes
All
sense.
Right.
Totally. Yeah.
Hey,
how's the weather, by the
I
way?
I send you a big hug. You're the best.
Canada. Oh, big hug to you, David. Great to connect.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. I'm going to go listen online now, okay?
Okay. Okay, cool.
Thanks.
Hi, 609-468. You're on Awakenings Radio.
Hi, Michelle. This is Karen. How are
hey,
you?
Hey, Karen. I'm doing great. Welcome.
Glad to hear you. I had a question about my love life.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to meet somebody new or what's going on. Cause the
now, you're just...
I think it's...
But you're just starting to date is what I'm hearing, right?
Yes and no. I mean, I've been dating for a while. But
okay, kind of
nothing
off,
that's
off
really,
and on.
Yeah, nothing that's really caught my attention until lately, but then I just found out it's just not going to work out. It's too far. And he's not going to relocate, and I'm not going to relocate, so that's out.
Hmm. So you're just not going to, you're stopping it. Let's see what's coming up for Karen.
I think because, I mean, if I get more involved and then, I don't know where that's going to lead me.
Mm-hmm. And with him. But you both really like each other. There's a lot of care there.
Yeah.
Karen, let
is.
Me have it's just the month and day of your birthday. Just the month and day.
9/13.
I should know that, shouldn't I? Let's see, 9/13. Yeah, so your energy is going to be changing, getting light. I'm getting that you just need to go out and have fun, not really worry about where it's going. And maybe, I don't know, I want to say November on and into next year, you'll be connecting with somebody that I feel is going to be more of like a partner type partnership. But until mm-hmm. then, it's like it's showing just go out and have a good time. Just see him, see other people. Just be open because I'm not feeling anybody, you know, like just one person. It's showing multiple. Something happens. Yeah, there it is, December, end of the year. Something happens, I feel like November, there's like a change. You know how sometimes you just let something go? You just like, oh,
right.
Forget it. And then that's when you, a lot of time, whatever it is that you're wanting, that it comes through.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to listen to my own advice with some projects. About that, letting go of some projects. Since I'm in a work focus. But, yeah, that's, I still see, I know it's hard for you because you don't want to get hurt and you know, I hear you, but you care about this person. Because I do see, do you travel and see each other?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. We're on vacation right now, and then he just broke this to me, and I'm like, okay, thanks for sharing.
What did he write?
I said, we're away on vacation right now, and then he just broke it to me. He's like, by the way, I'm not going to be moving by you. And I'm like, so why did you invite me on this vacation then?
Because he likes you. But you know what? Dating, it doesn't always have to go somewhere. I know that's so hard to hear, but sometimes it's just about an experience. Can be learning something, someone bringing out something different or new in you. But I know it can be disappointing, especially, you know, you open up and but I do, yeah, I am seeing you guys still hanging out. So it's not over, but there's going to be other people. You know, and sometimes there's guys call in, let us know, but I'm telling you, so I think guys more freak out than girls and women.
Right.
I think they just start going someplace in their head. And, you know, I remember back in the day, like I'd bring people over to visit my family. We have a good Latin family with food, hang out, and people say, oh, my God, you must be really serious about him. I'm like, no, why? Just because you brought him to meet your parents. And I'm like, we're having enchiladas tonight, and there's more the merrier. Because my parents were like, you know, they just, that's how I was raised, just very open. I didn't think that, you know. So, yeah, so I think sometimes people just freak themselves out. Like, I think your friend is doing that. I think it's not about the moving. I think, is he listening? I think he's getting a little scared, a little, what's up, feet? Cold feet.
Yeah, because he's like, I really am into you. I haven't felt this way in forever. And I'm like, okay. And
yeah.
I'm like, how do you think I feel? But then at the same time, it's like, so I don't understand. You're saying one thing, you're acting one way,
yeah.
and then you do something else.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it A or B or
he's
C?
Got,
like, which, where are we going?
Yeah. No, it's cold feet. He's got cold feet. He's
right.
freaking himself out. Tell him to relax.
Usually I'm the one that runs away, which is hysterical.
So don't run this time. Just hold the space and just be and let him have his little freak out moment, you know.
Okay.
All right, Karen. I'll talk to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. Hi, 708-442. You're on Awakenings Radio.
Yes, this is your guest, Michael Murphy.
Hey, Michael, I have a different number for you, so I didn't get to do
yes,
the intro.
Yes, I actually had a landline, so...
okay. Surprise, everybody, here's Michael.
So this is not my phone, so please don't call anybody out. I'm borrowing a landline. I only have a cell phone. But thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I know. I want to just I already gave an intro at the top of the program, but I want to let people that have just tuned in know who we're speaking to, which is you, and you did that amazing project on what the bleep are they spraying, and you're a political activist, president of Coalition Against Geoengineering, which we're going to have to dive into that. You work as an independent reporter and community organizer, and of course that amazing documentary, "What the Beep Are They? What the World Are They Spraying?" And focusing a lot on geoengineering and chemtrails and other environmental issues. And now, just so that people, if a lot of times people like to go to people's website, what is your website where they can start viewing some of the stuff that you've been doing?
Well, the one website that we're promoting in the last film, which won about, it won, I think we're up to 14 awards, it's Why in the World Are They Spraying? So it was the second part of the film, and that was...
Don't know about that.
Yes.
Okay.
Really got an exposure to millions of people. We just signed a TV deal, so it's going to be on, I don't have do TV myself, but it will be on a lot of different cable stations, pay-per-view, what is that, where you can actually order up a film. I'm not, again, I'm not...
On demand and what, on demand, okay.
On those avenues.
Wow.
So it's going to allow us to really reach a whole new market and get this issue, which, you know, after researching this for 5 years and focusing on it 7 days a week, I believe there's no more important issue that we have had to face in the history of the planet. So it's extremely, extremely important that we get this message out. And politically, it's something that is being addressed at the global level. What geoengineers are attempting to do is strip the sovereignty away from nations and even local governments and create this global governance to monitor and regulate these programs. So it's something that affects all of us on, you know, there are a number of health implications, a number of political implications, implications about freedom, but the environmental damage that it does is just astronomical. There's no greater threat to our planet. So it's very important that we address this, become aware of it, and it's getting mainstream attention. So what they're selling this is a way to mitigate global warming by putting a cloud cover, artificial cloud cover, particulates in the sky to reflect sunlight back into space. Like any program, there are a number of agendas, and which we'll get into today, but this really... It's a way to consolidate an enormous amount of both monetary and political power into the hands of you at the expense of everything on the planet. So,
I know when I saw the first documentary you did, of course, I saw the screening at Lee J. McCloskey's Olander in Malibu. Yeah. I was shocked. I was shocked at how... because I would think of the United States as the only ones doing this kind of stuff. I was shocked at how global the spraying is, the chemical spraying is. And I was also equally shocked that a lot of politicians know this. You know, they know that this is going on. I can't remember the one that you interviewed. I believe it was in Arizona. I think gray-haired woman, white-haired.
Former Arizona senator. Karen Johnson.
Yes, Senator. Yes, yes. And that this is kind of just going on and that, you know, not a lot of mainstream people know of it, by the way. I mean, more are getting to know it. But so I guess one thing I want to know is, let's go back here. I want to know what are they spraying? Let's just touch on that a little bit, and then also the why. I would love to know the why, and I'm sure our listeners would love to know that as well. And then we'll get into geoengineering and kind of the whole monster seed, Monsanto monster seed.
Right. That's one of the reasons. Well, geoengineering is defined as the artificial modification of the Earth's climate. So there are scientists, corporations, governments working together to manipulate our climate. So what they are saying is we're going to put aluminum oxide, which is a very reflective and lightweight material, nanoparticles into our sky by airplanes and other means to create an artificial cloud cover. And the theory is basically by doing this, they'll block the sun, reflecting sunlight back into space and thus cooling the planet. We have, since we released the first film, that, yes, you'll notice, like on a warm day when you see the planes going back and forth, creating this cover, sometimes you get an 8-10 degree drop in the temperature, but at night the aerosols, just like clouds, trap heat. So it actually, based on a number of studies, including NASA, Stanford, other universities, it actually warms the planet. And we have seen nighttime go up in the past 10 to 15 years considerably, and it is documented by a number of scientists that we have seen about a 50% increase in atmospheric aerosols in the past 10 years. I've asked, oh, God, probably 20 different scientists, where are these aerosols coming from? And they say, you know, we just don't know. Maybe it's volcanoes. We just don't know. Well, we know what the source is of this. And so what's being proposed and what a number of patents, about 98, almost 100 patents, have been designed to spray aluminum, barium, strontium, and other metals out of airplanes and by other means into our sky. So what we found and what we covered in the first film, what in the world are they spraying? What's being found in rain tests around the world? Rain tests are a very effective measurement of atmospheric contamination because the particles get caught in the rain. So we're seeing aluminum levels, which has escalated as much as 50,000 percentage points in the past, 8 years.
Wow.
Strontium, the exact geoengineering footprint, which matches what geoengineers deny they're spraying into our sky, but again, it's what they say they urgently want to, and it matches a number of patents. And aluminum in itself is very toxic. When they spray this, it's in the air that we're breathing right now, so with every breath we're taking in aluminum, and aluminum, of course, Alzheimer's, ADD, a bunch of other illnesses, which, of course, are on the rise. So we're finding this in rain tests literally around the world. People have been taking rain tests, which we encouraged in the first film, and we're finding this geoengineering footprint everywhere. But a number of people have also been testing their blood and their hair, and they're finding levels of aluminum and barium that are literally off the charts. So the health implications of aluminum alone are terrible, but also barium. Barium lowers our immune system and is, I believe, considered to be a carcinogen, as is strontium. So a number of illnesses now are on the rise. So of course, the pharmaceutical companies are probably loving this, and people are getting sick. There are ways to chelate, so I always want to keep things positive. It's not, oh, this is the end of the world scenario. There are things that we can do to save our planet. So I think we have, you know, a very serious issue. But on the other hand, really an incredible opportunity to take control of our sovereignty, of our health, and of our planet, and turn this boat around and really create the future that we want for ourselves and our children.
Now, what's interesting, shortly after I seen the first film, I was driving, and I think it was KPBS or something of that nature, actually talked about how they had been spraying since the 50s and that they needed to spray. I about had to pull my car off the side of the road. I was like, oh, my God, they're really talking about it. They had a couple of scientists on, and they were saying that they needed to spray as a way of managing the weather, that if they went 2 degrees or 3 degrees hotter one way or the other, that there'd be devastating results. And so that this spraying, they called it something else, but I'm going to say spraying, started. Do you know anything of that or heard of that?
Well, yeah, there is a weather control aspect of this, and anytime, we'll get into this in from a couple of different angles, but anytime a particulate is put into the sky, it's going to offset the weather. It slows down our wind patterns, which is very devastating to Hawaii, but these particles act as what's called cloud condensation nuclei. So normally when a cloud is formed, the sun will hit the ocean, it'll evaporate, and clouds will condense water molecules attached to other water molecules. When they attach enough, it eventually falls as rain. What happens when you introduce you know, fine metal particulate into the sky, the water molecules actually condense on the particulate. So instead of falling as rain, it will drift. Eventually it must fall, though. So what we end up getting is droughts in certain areas, floods in other areas, exactly what we're seeing right now. So geoengineers, it was interesting because after the first film, I really dug into the one and only geoengineering conference that they let me into. They won't let me in anymore because we really exposed what they were doing, but they were talking about, yes, when we introduce this, of course they have, we're going to have to regulate who gets rain, who doesn't get rain. So it's very scary because they're talking about, you know, how do we offer incentives for countries that support our programs, and what do we do for countries that don't? And I think that is exactly what they're talking about, withholding rain from certain regions. And that's our life, you know. That's our life force. We all need rain. So it's very scary. And again, they're talking about forming a global governance to monitor these programs. So they have a lot of leverage. If you control the weather, you control the world. So weather control is a very, very effective way to consolidate this monetary and political power. And it's very profitable. You had mentioned Monsanto, but I could get into just the mechanics of how they're controlling our weather and why our weather is really offset right now and who benefits. You'd like me to.
Yes, I'd love to. I'd love you to, too. And by the way, I want to let people know you can call in if you have questions or want to share your thoughts with Michael. The number is 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad to get in queue to get on air. Michael, so why are they so we know you're saying some of it has to do with weather control, which is kind of interesting. I wonder what would happen if they didn't try to control the weather, because it is quite not only, you know, let's just kind of take it to like kindergarten level. It's so unfair because, like you're saying, you manipulate the weather, then it changes. Some people get better weather, some people not, you know, not so great. You know, it messes things up. It creates an imbalance, I would, you know. On a very simplified level.
It does. And one of the things that aluminum does, it changes the pH of our soil, so it increases the pH, and which, of course, certain areas need different pHs of soil. So our pHs are being offset. As a result, we're seeing forests collapsing. I live on an organic in Maui. Of course, I'm in Chicago right now. With family, but on the organic farm, we have seen a 50% decrease in our yields over the past 10 years. So when the aluminum gets in there, most plants have a root system that will, because aluminum can be very toxic in its free form in the soil, they will actually shut down, so the plant will die. So, but there's a solution. There's great news. I'm being a little facetious. It's Monsanto has actually a patent for abiotic stress. So abiotic stress
is
something that really stresses the soil. It's pH changes, heavy metal contamination, too much moisture, not enough moisture, issues like that. So we're seeing a die-off of crops around the world. But they have now this Terminator seed, which addresses abiotic stress, a seed that will grow in these new conditions. So because of this, you know, I believe one of the agendas is to completely corporatize every natural system on the planet. They now are genetically modifying forests. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing collapses, ecosystem collapses around the world. So in Hawaii, a lot of people, I'm not completely there yet, but you know, a lot of people grow their own food. They
grow food,
from this corporate system, and we're losing our ability to do this. And if they continue the spraying, we completely lose our ability to do this. Now, the corporations don't profit the way that we live in Maui. So if everybody grew their own food, there wouldn't be your Monsantos, there wouldn't be your grocery stores.
Yeah.
People would be independent and sovereign, and this big corporate system would not be thriving. So that appears to be what they're doing, just destroying our ability to live off of nature so that they can have the literally usurping the authority of nature, the authority of God.
I got to tell you too, Michael. They're doing it. You know, the government that way with the spraying and also with the seeds, but also locally. I don't know if you heard of this, but there was a whole scenario where people were wanting to have, neighborhood gardens, and the city came in and shut them down because they said it wasn't, safe or clean, like you had to get certain permits. And one of my don't know him very well, but I talked to him. He had a lovely garden. I would walk by all the time, and he kept it as a neighborhood garden. And my area is very, it's very liberal. Someone turned him in, and he had to shut the garden or couldn't have it in the front. He had it all in the front yard, and neighbors could come and pick food and grow. He was growing, and they said, you have to have a permit. And so there is this undercurrent. You're right. Like if we're not so dependent on the grocery stores, and the big companies, that loss of, income and, via that control. So there does seem to be this undercurrent of controlling our natural resources, especially through food, water, and, of course, like you said, weather is a big way to do that. Can you speak to any of that?
Yes. And I think it was Kissinger who said, if you control the food, you control the people. And, that's what they want. So, our ancestors lived off of nature. They were dependent on rain, their crops, and essentially they didn't have to go to work for some corporation in order to feed their families. So the families were working together in the fields. They grew their own food. And I think it was a very beautiful way to live, and it is the way that we live in Maui. But again, we're quickly, losing our ability to do that. And that's very concerning to me because that's the very essence of freedom. And that's being taken away from us. And again, it takes away our power, our ability to be sovereign. And that's just a basic human right that we have. In the original plan, God didn't say, I want Monsanto to control the food supply. He provided seeds and everything that we needed to survive and really thrive in this lifetime. But the corporations, again, these people who control the corporations, they're after power. They want power.
Mm-hmm.
And controlling the weather, according to geoengineer David Keith, he said geoengineering gives man godlike power. Now, I don't want that kind of power. I don't crave it,
right.
But it is an addiction, and we have to realize certain people do have this addiction. So it's something that's very concerning, and anytime you strip power away from people, you end up hurting the very people in order to take the power away from them. So getting in just to the basics of geoengineering and how it relates to weather control, going back to geoengineering models, they say aluminum oxide is, it's an effective metal to put into the sky to cool the planet because it's very reflective and lightweight, so it will stay in the sky longer. What we found was aluminum is also a very effective conductor in our sky. So there are technologies, one of which is called the HARP system, High Active Auroral Research Project, and essentially it's an ionospheric heater. So with the HARP system, what they do is emit a frequency into the sky and actually heat up this metal particulate. Or they could use other systems like kind of like a microwave oven where they could target a certain region. So when the metals are in the sky, what they will do, and you will notice, usually before a day or two before big storms come into a region, you'll see the planes back and forth, just covering the sky. Those are the days that people complain of irritability, nausea, headache, just an overall sense of...
Yeah, there's more of that. Yes, huh.
And those are usually on heavy spray days. But what they do is they heat up that metal particulate in the sky, and when it heats, it literally rises, and in the rising, it creates a low-pressure vacuum. So that vacuum steers storms into certain regions or steers storms out of certain regions and really enables these corporations to determine where storms go or where storms don't go. So if you look back 2 years, there was a major drought in the Midwest. And we were getting a ton of emails in saying, thank God for your film. You know, we don't have any spraying over the U.S. You know, we think you stopped the programs.
Right.
And we said, oh, boy, we wish we could take credit for that. So we began looking at satellite. And what we found was in the Pacific, it was completely covered with aerosols. And that did a couple of things. One thing, it blocked the sun, so we weren't getting the normal evaporation that we should get to bring storms into the Midwest. And it also enabled the heating and manipulation of our jet stream. So if you've noticed, we have really weird dips in our jet stream. Weathermen are talking about it, scratching their heads. Never seen anything like this. Well, it's being manipulated. And what they did was they created, without question, they engineered the drought here in the Midwest. And a couple of things happened with it. We had a lot of crop loss. So some farmers, because it was a drought, they lost their crops, having to go then into the GMO seeds or the Monsanto seeds. So those seed companies benefited from it. But it also created, I'm not sure what the numbers were. I predicted about a 30% increase in our food prices, but probably at least
it's huge.
Increase in our
food
prices.
But now, are they spraying less? Are they spraying less, or does it just seem like it, that because of changing the tactics, so to speak, or what they're spraying?
It seems like there is different seasons where they will spray more. So typically you will see less spraying over the California region during the summer months. And what they're doing right now, California has a drought, right? So who's benefiting from that? Well, a lot of people. A lot of crops are being lost. California used to produce 50% of the fruits and vegetables. Now that they're not getting the rain, there are these droughts. It makes the U.S. interdependent with food. So that's a number of different agendas, one of which is global governance. So if we're interdependent, we have to form, global governance.
Alliances
to make sure that. So there are a number of agendas with it, and I think it has to do a lot with water rights as well, because corporations want to control water. So if we have an abundance of water, people are getting it, there's no problem. It's difficult for governments to come in and say, okay, we have to control this water, we have to limit who gets water and tell, people, who has rights to this. So I think it has many things that are related to Agenda 21. I don't want to get too much into that. So I think, a number of people benefit from that. But what they're doing is they're creating a high pressure over California. I've been in the Midwest since March. And it's been very wet. It's been very fall-like. And what they're doing is pushing the jet stream up into the Canada, into the Arctic, and it has to rebound. So it's rebounding now into the Midwest, which is bringing these intense storms in, rainy days, very cool weather here, but very hot weather out in California. So anytime you manipulate weather, there's going to be an offset. And it's going to distribute rain and other things in an unusual way. And again, there's always somebody who benefits from this. It's not you or I. It's many different people. And what was interesting, and why in the world are they spraying, we looked at a couple of different, areas that benefit. Military's been using weather control, like you said, for a number of years. JFK spoke about it. And it was actually used as early back, as far as we know, in Vietnam, and there was a program called Project Popeye, and the U.S. government actually flooded out the Ho Chi Minh Trail, and I believe it was 13 feet of rain in less than an hour. And the Ho Chi Minh Trail was the main supply line of the Vietnamese military. So they flooded that out, and what it does, it gives the military a certain advantage. If you can control weather, control situations where perhaps another government can't get their airplanes off the ground or even get their supplies, then you can, essentially you have a military advantage. So that's been around for a number of years. there was a treaty called ENMOD back in the 70s. And what it did was, because this technology was available, it made this technology illegal to use during wartime. One of the things, like most treaties, there was an exemption. So this exemption was weather control could be used over a certain country. Let's say if it's the U.S., they can use it over the United States. So with weather control, it's very easy to manipulate weather or put in a high pressure, let's say over the U.S., and you can have effects literally 2,000 miles away if you manipulate the jet stream. So that's how they can get away with this, and that's what they're doing. Dr. Baggage spoke, you know, about 60-mile deviation in the jet stream caused by HAARP a number of years ago, and what it did, it was over Alaska. It dipped the jet stream down into Florida where they had really unusual weather. They had tornadoes, stuff that was really, really irregular, things that we're seeing now. So, again, you can drought certain areas out from thousands of miles away, and I think Africa is a target because they're having tremendous droughts out there, but Monsanto and the Obama administration had publicly stated their goals to really get Monsanto into Africa. And, of course, if Africa was getting bumper crops and growing their own food, why would they go with Monsanto, who has Terminator seeds, and where the farm has to go back year after year after year buying seeds that should be, you know.
That's what gets me. It's all about the buying of these seeds so that, which, and I think there was some legal issues that with some people that had, you know, unwittingly they didn't want those, you know, geoengineered seeds. They wanted to use natural, but that the geoengineered seeds would, you know, whatever, fly, migrate in the air, be carried, whatever, by whatever, birds or bees or whatever, or they would just in the wind, and then the farmers accidentally using these seeds and they're getting fined or charged for using copyrighted, right? I mean,
they're cross-pollinating. So Monsanto has a patent. You can't patent nature, but you can patent a genetically modified seed. So a lot of these seeds will cross-pollinate. So Monsanto was coming in, testing farmers, saying, hey, you're using our seeds. You weren't buying them from us, and they're suing them. So it literally puts a farmer in a position, because of the fact that our crops are not growing the way that they used to, where they have to either go out of business or become dependent on this corporation. So it's not a good sign. It's not a good scene at all. And, of course, GMO seeds, all of the U.S. studies say that they're safe. There are studies that came out of Europe that show that there are a number of health implications that come with GMO seeds. I don't want to get too much into that. I could probably talk for the next, you know, 3 hours about it. But it's not a good scenario, but it is. It's literally, it's what just about every major religion talks about. They talk about in the end times this beast, you know. I think the Bible calls it the beast that wants to literally control everything, and this is the way that they do it. They destroy nature, redesign it so that every resource comes under the authority and control of these corporations and the people that control them. So it's a big shift of power. It's the usurping of authority of God in nature, bringing it under the umbrella of these people. I don't even know what they are, but they are becoming godlike.
They're greedy.
Well, I think it's more than that. But I hear what you're saying. There are a number of things, and don't get me going because I might say some words that are inappropriate on the show.
No, it's all. I mean, there's many of where they came from. Now, here's a question from a chat. How did we allow it to get this bad with Monsanto? You can't say anything against them here in Nebraska. The senators are all in bed with them. Same here in Arizona. All the state senators with them, Nebraska. Yeah, so how, well, kind of sneaky, right? I mean, we didn't plan, you know, I think it started with the, now they're trying to do with fish, but a little bit here and there. Soy was a biggie for geoengineered. I don't know, Michael. How did they get this bad? How were they able to infiltrate?
Well, I think a number of levels. You know, at first it was just something that would be good for the farmers. Hey, we have a seed that will grow. You know, it's not going to, droughts aren't going to affect it. And if you look at farming agriculture, it's become very challenging. If you look back to Farm Aid, you know, farmers have been economically challenged. And anytime you get a market or an industry that's economically challenged, it's very easy to come in and control. So they have a solution to a problem that many farmers are facing, reduced yields, inability to produce crops. So what do? They have to go to these seeds because it keeps them in business, and that's how they do it. They're disaster capital. They come in, it's what they call the Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. The problem is, hey, we're not able to get the yields that we need to get.
They were getting.
That we were getting. Here's Monsanto. Even though it's going to put us in debt every year, year after year after year, it will keep us in business. So, again, it takes away our sovereignty, our ability to thrive, and puts the power into Monsanto. So they set themselves up as the solution to a problem that they've caused. At least we believe that they've caused. So, yeah, not good. And that's why I encourage people to buy organic, grow organic, try and live independently, because every time we buy, and I'm not, you know, perfect, I'm trying to get better.
We're trying. Yeah.
We buy that, we're supporting the system that ultimately, you know, down the road is definitely gonna really impact the world that our children live in. So we need to recognize that, and we're the generation. We are the ones that have to put an end to this, and if we don't, we're looking at some very, very serious future implications. We've already had many, many serious implications. Respiratory mortality went from number 6 down to number 3 in about a 6-year period. That's a lot of people dying. And again, we're breathing these metals in from the geoengineering programs with every breath that we take. So there are ways to chelate and to remove these metals out of our body, chlorella, bentonite. I just started selling.
That's what some people just put it. Well, someone just said, what Divine Mystic in the chat is, does Michael have any thoughts to offer us what we can do to help protect our health from the geoengineering spraying? Yeah.
Absolutely, and I wish, you know, we could all, it's almost like we should all be walking around in a suit that has filtered air to breathe in, but that's a little ridiculous. So, yeah, there definitely are. And you want to eat organic, and you want to keep your body strong and healthy, so... organic is in a lot of vegetables. You want to keep your body alkaline, not acidic. Proteins, pesticides, everything, they compromise our immune system. So you want to look at ways to increase your immune system. There are a couple of products that I recommend that remove heavy metals. Bentonite is something that I take. Zeolite, those are effective at removing the heavy metals. Get a test if you can. A test or a blood test, and most likely you will see, you know, very high levels of the metals from geoengineering programs, aluminum and barium. Also, organic sulfur is a very effective way to alkalize your body, detox your body, removing the heavy metals, and it has a number of other health benefits. I just started a business. I was very reluctant because I hadn't heard of MSM organic sulfur, but apparently we're all deficient in it because agriculture went from manure-based fertilizer to petrochemical fertilizers, which do not have sulfur. So as a result, our cells do not oxygenate, they do not detoxify like they once did. So I started taking the product and noticed energy immediately. Well, not immediately. I had some detox symptoms at first, but now I'm more energetic. I work out a lot, I train a lot, so my body doesn't get into oxygen debt the way that it used to. It doesn't get sore anymore, and you want to keep your body healthy. So you can find more information on my website, which is organicsulfur.net, and there are a lot of articles and other information. If you feel like that's a product that you would want to to try. You can order it there. If not, I would recommend definitely looking at other things to chelate heavy metals out of your body. And vegetables, 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 organic. Eat well. It's so important to eat well. And a healthy body is a powerful body, and we need a strong activist community, people who have energy. So look at, again, what would be right for you, but I would recommend definitely something. But get that test, you know, if you can afford it. I think it's around $50. And 18 people in Mojave County, Arizona, got blood tests. 16 of them had, I think, levels that were several thousand times the normal amounts of aluminum and barium. So it is showing up in blood tests around the world, so you definitely want to remove that so that your body can function and at an optimum level. And you'll feel better. You'll be more happy. And that's really thriving in our life, so I can't stress the importance of that.
I always say, but boosting the immune system, you know, there's always the answer, you know. What do you think of, because I think it has sulfur in it, diatomaceous earth. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, yes. I've taken DE. Very good product. That does remove heavy metals as well. So zeolites are very good. They're a little more expensive. So being, even though millions of people have seen the film, it's available for free. We do sell the DVD at whyintheworldarethespraying.com. So I encourage people to order a copy. We encourage people to make copies and hand out for free so you can become an activist. But it helps support our work. But with that being said, people thought, you know, people were coming to me asking for money to fund their films. And basically I was living on a low income, in the low income bracket. So it's a labor of love. So with that being said, I look for less expensive ways to optimize my health. If you do have the means, I would definitely recommend zeolite. Sulfur for about
what is
two
it?
Months.
Sulfur. What is it? Zeolite. What is that?
It's zeolite, and it's very similar, from my understanding, to like DE, diatomaceous earth, or even zeolite. So it will bind heavy metals, other toxins in your body, and remove them. So it's a very good product. Sulfur, you can get about a 2.5-3 month supply for about $45. And that has been, I didn't know about it. People were sending samples in the mail, and a lot of stuff was coming in the mail. And based on the fact that we're exposing very powerful corporations that are involved in illegal things, I wasn't about to take it. It was only until, you know, somebody had recommended it in Hawaii, and a lot of people are beginning to take that. So it's a very cost-effective way, and you should notice, you know, a considerable difference in your energy, the way that you feel, and just an overall well-being, you know, in the way that you feel. So that's very, very important now, because, again, we're breathing in toxins with every breath.
So we're really being forced. I mean, it used to be kind of this kind of eating and living was a luxury. It sounds like we're really being forced, but it's not necessarily a luxury now. It's a necessity.
Well, if you want to live a long life, you know, it definitely is.
There's quality of life,
Yeah, quality of life. So, you know, if you look at the average American, you know, people are sick. Diabetes, all kinds of illnesses now are on the rise. So I don't go to the doctor. I've kept myself, managed to keep myself pretty healthy.
I hear you. I'm there, too. Yeah. I did grow up in a family. We didn't run to the doctor every time. You know, we had cramps as a kid. My mom would have some mint tea, you know. So I think people have to get off the pill dependency. I mean, unless it's obviously absolutely needed. But that dependency on the doctor, and the doctor says, or you're likely to get this because your parents had this. I mean, there's even studies now saying that people are healthier that don't go to the doctor all the time and don't know their history. Because how you live, your lifestyle, and the food that you eat is such a mitigating factor to any kind of family history or dynamic that they're finding many people aren't getting their, you know, illnesses of hereditary illnesses because they're you know, living a different lifestyle and mental state as well as food. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Health is very important. So we want to stay away from doctor's offices, and the only way to do that really is through preventative measures, and diet's a major part of that. So can't
mm-hmm.
stress that enough.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the more, I mean, there's the HARP, there's the spraying, and I love what you said earlier, what was it Kissinger said, but you control the food, you control the people. By the way, healthy, fit people are very hard to control, right?
Yeah, I mean, when we're independent of the pharmaceutical companies, and, you know, when we take our health into our hands, we take control of ourselves, the corporations don't profit from that. So illness is a huge industry. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry, and, you know, I look at people who are on several different meds. You know, they're taking different meds, and those compromise our immune system at one level or another. If you're taking anything that's foreign to the body, it will do that. So it's going to create other illnesses. So you look
mm-hmm.
at people, you know, in their 60s, 70s, some of them might be on 8, 9 different medications. Somebody's making a whole lot of money off of that. And
mm-hmm.
we don't have to live our lives. Illness has become something that's normal and acceptable
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
not acceptable. And it doesn't have to happen. There are preventions. And, you know, there are things that we can do. And, again, we're being attacked on a number of different levels. We live in a very toxic society. So eating at McDonald's and not taking, you know, care of our bodies, we're going to see effects from that. So, again, that's very important.
Yeah. Now we have a question that do you feel Alzheimer's? Alzheimer's has shot up big time around the Midwest. That's interesting. And, of course,
yeah,
there's been studies about aluminum with that as well.
Right, all around the globe. We interviewed Dr. Tammy Bourne in the first film, What in the World Are They Spraying? She specializes in aluminum toxicity and was very concerned. Geoengineers are proposing and probably spraying 20 million tons of aluminum into our skies. So, yeah, I mean, we've seen Alzheimer's, other aluminum-related illnesses skyrocket around the world. And the spraying is being witnessed in just about every country. There are I haven't seen any reports of spraying in certain countries in Africa. So I'm not sure if there's an alliance there with these programs. However, these particles, they drift because they're very lightweight. So they're being found in samples of rainwater taken around the world. So it's literally, there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to, it'd be nice if we could have a little space where we could forget about this and live and be independent from that. No, fortunately, this is an issue that it affects every living thing on the planet. So it is a problem, but it's also a great opportunity. I mean, it's the one issue and the most important issue. I mean, it shreds our ozone. We've seen UV scales off the charts in the past 10
mm-hmm.
years. I mean, there's literally nothing that it does not damage. And if we allow it to continue, I think it's going to be, it would be the extinction of the Earth. But if you look at it from a more positive perspective, this is the one issue that we must unite every person on the planet. And this is the issue that will unite us. And it really, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, These geoengineers, how do we get them to stop?
Right.
Who do we talk to? We talk to ourselves. The power rests within us. It's not something that we can put off on somebody else. We ultimately have power and authority. We just have to exercise that. When we do, we can move mountains. So, you know, I address this from a very positive and a very optimistic approach. I see it as just a great opportunity for humanity to unite, taking back our power, taking back our authority. When we do that, amazing things can happen. So I have this just incredible outlook based on these programs. And if I look back, you know, into my own life and some of the most positive things that have happened and changes in my life, they stemmed from great adversity and great challenges. And, you know, what people may, you know, look at as problems. And And, you know, I don't have problems in my life. I have challenges in my life, and I'm not a victim of anything. I'm a victor. So if we apply that in a larger scale, this is, again, it's a victory for humanity. And it's again, it usually takes a crisis for people to wake up and make changes. So this corporate governmental conglomerate, which I call the beast, it's been, you know, it's been in development for thousands and thousands of years, and it's getting to the point where we do have a crisis or a great opportunity, depending on how you look at it. So the way that I deal with this, some people deal with this out of anger, other people out of fear. I deal with it out of hope. And just addressing this every day, whether it's handing out a DVD, which I rarely go out of the house without DVDs, and talking to people about it, spoken to millions. We screened the film at the European Union. So I've spoken to millions of people around the world. That's my way of addressing this, and it's a very positive way, because you never, fear is not empowering. It's debilitating, and it's not motivating. And it's a place that we want to be in. It's not a place of empowerment. So dealing with it, and it's very easy to get angry. You know, look what's going on. We have people who are looking at their crops. You know, if they own a lot of land, they're looking at their trees are dying. You know, people can get very angry. And I don't think that's a very healthy place to be. Sometimes anger, you know, some good things can come out of anger. But I think if we take that energy and use it in a positive way, it's a very healthy way to deal with it. So I sleep well at night, you know, and I don't angry every time I see them spray. I wake up saying, hey, we have something to do. We have a great opportunity. And I encourage people to try and address it in that capacity because it's healthy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thinking, too, with what you're saying, you know, a lot of consciousness, if we are less dependent, more informed, we come together more, we share information like we're doing today, that I do believe, you know, consciousness, the shift in consciousness, living more awake, more aware, that is a mitigating factor. That is something that could offstave or make things less severe. You know, again, harder to manipulate when you're more awake or living more conscious or not so dependent on these systems. Instead, we create our own viable system. I've got another question that just came in from Twitter is, what can we do? Well, you kind of answered it, but maybe they just tuned in. What do you suggest we do, individuals? We don't have much power. I guess a lot of people do feel that they don't have, you know.
Right. A lot of people feel that way. They feel, oh, you know, we're in a terrible situation and geoengineers are doing this. And, you know, I really want to encourage people to get out of the victim mode. That's not a healthy place. So don't look at this as we don't have power. We do have power. That power could be in your home. It could be waking up just the people that you live with, perhaps, you know, giving them a DVD or even introducing this in a non-confrontational way. I know a lot of people who address this in anger and they end up pushing people away. What you want to do, you know, you have information, you want to share it. So get your ego out of the way and, you know, recognize not everyone's going to believe this. It's very difficult to believe when it's first introduced, just like me, that airplanes were spraying the sky. I thought the first person that told me was crazy. You know, it wasn't until I really researched this. So be patient with those who you have influence. But all of us, you know, whether you know one person, we have an audience. We have influence. We have the ability to share this information. So we do have power, and we do have a, because this is truth. So share it with those that in your circle that you have the ability. We all have an audience. You know, some people have gifts. It depends on what your gifts are. You know, I encourage people to look inside, see what your gifts are. Some people might be, you know, gifted in the computer sense. I certainly am not. But, you know, use that computer as an avenue to get the message out. Others, in the form of art. You know, there have been some incredible artists that have done some wonderful things. Music has been another great avenue. Public speaking, some people are very gifted in public speaking, get out to your town hall meetings, you know, your public events. And sometimes, you know, because it is difficult for people to grasp, order a DVD, make as many copies as you want, and hand out DVDs and just say, hey, have an issue that affects here in a major way. Sometimes saying less is better. Hand out that DVD or maybe even a flyer, you know, but just get out there, wherever your audience is, wherever your gift is. Find out what that is, exercise that. And I think you'll feel a lot better about that, about this issue. And it is empowering, you know, when you see people wake up, which I have had the opportunity, you know, through both films, it's really, and I say this humbly because it was not something that I chose, it chose me. So it wasn't my genius that put this together. It was the hand of God, no question about that. But it did wake up millions of people, and it's said to have been, you know, the spark that has really started the movement. The movement's still in its infancy stage. You know, millions of people have woken up around the world, but it's a very small percentage of the people that we need to reach. So there's a lot of work that we need to do. So be humble as well. This is, it's not something, you know, I've seen a lot of people get egotistical because, you know, they've had 10,000 or 10 million people go to their website. And you know, this is not something to do for fame, fortune. There's certainly not fortune involved. This is something that we have to do for humanity. So check your heart, check your ego at the door, but really, you know, make sure that you have a pure heart when you do this. And I've seen a lot of people, you know, just getting into activism, focusing a lot of energy, criticizing other activists. And that's a damaging thing that we can do. You know, I look back, and I'm not a football fan anymore, but as a child, I was. And if Howie Long, one of the greatest football players, I forget what position he played in, after the games, he would go back and he would look at the game films, even in his best games, and he would look at the mistakes that he made so he could get better. That's what we need to be doing. There's too much arguing, gossip, divisions, and movements because people want to criticize activism of other people. We should be looking at ourselves. We should be looking at our mistakes. I do. I look every day. What did I do wrong? How could I get better? And that's the only way that we're going to grow. And Howie Long didn't go in to mark down the mistakes of every other player and then go into practice and spend his energy criticizing them. He looked at himself, and that's where the point of power is. You look at all the great speakers, Martin Luther King, John F. Kennedy, Gandhi, they did not use their public platform to bash other people into gossip, and that's been happening a lot in the movement. It's not productive. Our common goal is not to gossip. It's not to address somebody who's cheating on their wife or somebody who had too much to drink last weekend. Our common goal is to get geoengineering stopped. And any time we engage in divisive gossip and other things, it slows us down, and it's probably one of the most damaging things that can be done. I just wrote an article about that titled, Has the Chemtrail Geoengineering Movement Been Co-opted? And while it wasn't meant to, you know, reach the audience that some of my other articles did, I believe it's the most important article that I've written because we had a co-opting of the movement. We had somebody who we promoted on in our films, literally posting front page of a website that we put on the film, saying that I had fallen to hardcore drug addiction. This person blocked a $2.5 million funding deal with this gossip. It did was we lost a lot of our support. This person's very influential, very informational, but what he did was, you know, through character assassination and gossip, he influenced a lot of my supporters to not support my work anymore. So I sat back. I don't engage in those arguments, and I watched, and now they're doing it to other people. He's, you know,
the
writing articles.
Come out.
It's coming out. You know, and what it did was, it really slowed down the progress that we made. And now we're seeing divisions, we're seeing arguments. And this person, again, he's very well-spoken, very influential within the movement, and he does a lot of good things. You know, he brings a lot of positive attributes into the movement. But what he did was very damaging on a number of levels, and people are now just beginning to wake up and see. But, you know, you hate to promote somebody. And I shared, you know, I had spent thousands of hours on the phone developing relationships, and I essentially gave all of my radio contacts and all the work that I did because we had a trust. And in the way that this issue would be addressed, you know, we had agreements, and those agreements had been broken, and now we're seeing all this division within the movement. So my goal is to get the movement back on course. There's definitely a and I never want to mention any names. We don't have to. That's not ethical. You know, what we want to do is use this as an example and show, you know, people that this is not acceptable.
But,
you know,
but people have to know that, you know, they have to dig and get to the truth sometimes, because sometimes people, like, hijack things, or they present what isn't real. You know, Michael, in our last minutes, Trisho in the chat is saying, thank you, Michael, for this program filled with so much knowledge and for your perspectives. We do have Power Share It. Crystal Bowles is saying, I'm definitely going to get the DVD and share. Trisho, I love that also. Going to hand some out at supermarkets. Yeah. Thanks, you guys. That sounds great. Some great ideas. Thank you, Michael, also, for just taking the time out from your busy schedule to be on the program and really answering also what can we do. I mean, that's what I think the why, the what, people are knowing a lot, but the why are they spraying, I think, is so helpful. And then also what we can do individually, what can we do, I think is so empowering. You gave some empowering choices for people and lifestyle changes that I think that people can start integrating now, this very minute. Why not? Do you have anything coming up that you'd like to share in the last, we've got, got 10 seconds. Anything coming up that you'd like to share?
Go to our Facebook page, Why in the World Are They Spraying? And if you have the means, please support our work by ordering a DVD at whyintheworldarethespraying.com. And make as many copies, hand them out, get active in your community. And I just want to thank the audience for listening, to being a part of this, and not only for what you've done, but what you're going to do, because really we're all part of this. So thanks. You know, I'm honored to be a part of this, and everyone that's listening is a part of this. So we're kind of a group attached, and I'm just thankful to be a part of it. You know, I'm at a loss for words. So I want to thank everybody for moving forward in integrity and in truth. And I want to encourage everyone to keep looking up.
Love that. Thanks, Michael. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you very much.
Come
God bless.
God bless.
Great work. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for being on Awakenings Radio and making it the amazing program that it is. You guys rock. You do. Just got word the other day someone found our show. They just, you know, put in a search on iTunes asking for spirituality, and our show popped up first. That's thanks to all of you. All right, you guys, have a great week. Rock it. I'll see you next Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific time. As usual, we answer questions, usually 12 p.m. Pacific time. It's about 12:45, 12:50 Pacific time. As always, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued awakening conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.